Sit back, relax, and raise a glass for spirits coming from the past. Sip on salt while your skin falls with your pre-haunting wolf having a ball. Trope was all in Washington rule with guests and spirits for your favorite pools. Gather the others, no hesitating. The moment's approaching, it's now time to sing. Hogs and hogs, hogs and hogs, crack open the can and fill to the top. Hogs and hogs, hogs and hogs, this is your podcast and it's called Hogs and Hogs.
No matter where you are joining us from, welcome back to our realm. This is Haunts and Hops, the podcast that will cover all things paranormal while enjoying the science of scrumptious beer. Follow us on all social media at Haunts and Hops. I'm Johnny LaQuasto. It's now time to introduce the true diamonds of Haunts and Hops, starting with a veteran paranormal investigator fulfilling her lifelong dream, formerly of Ghost Hunters, countless paranormal experiences, and a delicious beer in her hand. Find her at Ashley Trobe on the socials because she is the brilliant Ashley Trobe.
Are we only diamonds because we're always under pressure?
I think that's you always you under pressure, you raise up your game. Diamond.
Yeah.
I like
you
it.
You shine under pressure or something like that. I don't know.
And speaking of shining, she is certified in paranormal investigation and cryptozoology. She's interacted with spirits since childhood. She can act, sing, make you laugh, a true triple threat, Anastasia Washington.
Hey, guys.
What's happening? Episode 3, we made it.
We made it, you guys. We did that.
Amazing conversation with Brandon Alvis in episode 2. This one, it's just going to be us three talking about a cryptid map and talking about specific cryptids because, let's be honest, whether or not they exist, they're entertaining and they're fun, and that's what this podcast is all about.
True that.
But first things first, we got to talk about the beverages that the three of us are having. So I'm going to go to you this time, Ashley. What is your beverage of choice for this episode?
Okay, well, everyone's going to hate me again, but I am back to the IPA. I went a little hazy this time. I went with Sierra Nevada, hazy little thing. This is a super easy and great go-to after work kind of beer. I prefer it just because it's not super high in alcohol content. What am I clocking in at? Let's see. I'm clocking in at 6.7.
So hey.
This is gonna be a good episode. Yeah, it's really enjoyable. It's light. Sierra Nevada, I think after all this time, is still putting out beers that I enjoy. And so cheers to them because they are one of the now mainstream, quote unquote, craft breweries. And they're still killing it.
You know, it's funny you say that. I almost have a hard time looking at Sierra Nevada as a craft brewery anymore because they are all over the country. But when it came down to it, hey, great business move. Good for them.
They're one of the OGs. Same with Carl Strauss. Carl Strauss is considered the original craft beer company. And now look, they have... They're not craft beer anymore, but like they began those roots for us. So shout out to them and shout out to Sierra Nevada.
And they have great duck fat pretzel bites.
Oh my God.
I was just going to say, when you go from a craft brewery to restaurateurs, I think you've done a couple things correct in business.
Memories of getting drunk there over and over and over again.
Anastasia and I always split the same food. We get duck fat pretzel bites and what's the Brussels sprouts we get? What are they called?
Oh, I think they're just called Brussels sprouts, but then you have to eat all the pork, and then I don't eat the pork.
We literally get the same thing every single time we go there. And we
Oh, yeah. Carl Strauss was the like a stomping ground for you two in your friendship, was it not?
Yeah, that was the city walk one, specifically.
Shout out to Carl Strauss. Also a shout out to Anastasia. What beer are you consuming right now? Oh, God, I see it. Don't tell us.
I know!
Oh boy.
Boy, tell us.
Okay, listen, I have not stocked my beer because of quarantine. And I don't go out more than, you know, once a week or something to the store. And so I had Corona.
Wow. At a time like this.
I'm so sorry. And it's not even a joke, like Corona and Corona. I'm not even trying to make a joke. It's just what I had.
Yeah. Do you at least have a lime?
No. I have a tea latte right next to it.
Okay. We need to put your Corona reveal on Patreon for sure, because the faces Ashley and I just made. I made a noise from my body that I don't ever make. I don't even know what it was.
It's very, very, very terrible. But, you know,
I'm just going to shame Swig right now.
She is. She's down. She's halfway done with the Corona, and the episode's 3 minutes old.
I say just chug it at this point. I'm like, what do you have to lose?
Don't tempt me.
Don't make me tempt you. I will tempt you.
Her Corona has me sweating over here.
Yeah, same. Quasto, what do you have in your hand?
All right. I'm going to redeem Anastasia with this one.
Thank you. Thank you. Redeem me.
My brand new Tavor order should be here any day, but luckily I still have this one from Big Storm Brewing out of Tampa. This is their seasonal winter ale, specifically titled Dunder and Blixum. It's a spiced ale, and it clocks in at 8.8%.
Oof.
And you may not know this, but luckily the can informs me. This spiced ale pairs with grilled leg of lamb.
Oh.
Prosciutto, figs, and something I've never heard of, Stilton cheese.
Oh, Stilton is like the stinkiest, stankiest cheese that is so good. It stank.
Guess what? Now you have your beverage next time you get into some Stilton cheese.
Yeah, Stilton kind of tastes like if you ate a water bug.
No, it doesn't. It's delicious and you're really weird.
Have you eaten a water bug?
No.
Okay. Well, I have. It tastes like Stilton.
Okay, well, I just got schooled, so never mind. I pulled back from what I said, but whoops.
It also could be the Corona talking. We don't know.
It could be. It's not. With Corona.
Well, to everyone listening, we want to hear all about your paranormal experiences. Guess what? You can leave us a voicemail, 818-660-6191, and tell us your experience if you want it to be featured on an episode of Haunts and Hops. But before we get into our cryptid map, it is now time for the Supernatural Scoop.
The music scares me every time.
I tried to find the most terrifying music possible. I think we pulled it off.
Yeah.
One of us should have been drinking a Guinness for this episode because this story comes to us all the way from 19th century Ireland. So, paranormal investigators believe they have evidence of a 19th century spirit haunting an Irish castle. The very spirit of Sir Walter Peter Lambert was a member of the family who owned the castle. It was called Castle Ellen House in Cogalway, Ireland. He passed away in 1892. Have you ever heard of Sir Walter Peter Lambert?
I have not.
Well, I'll tell you what he looks like. Yeah.
He could be an actor nowadays.
He could be a mixologist, that's for sure.
Very true.
I think I have that outfit.
You definitely have that outfit.
It's a power outfit. So a paranormal investigation team, PSI Ireland, they reported from talking to the staff there that the maids of the castle were cleaning his bedroom on the day of his death recently, and one of the maids looked out of the window and said, quote, "The master has returned." She claimed to see him on foot, and PSI Ireland also claims to have footage of a man in the mirror that they believe is Sir Walter Peter Lambert. And here's a photo that they have put out on social media. They think that's his face.
Okay.
Look.
Then he's like a bird man because he has like kind of a beak.
That's a face?
I don't know. I think so. I'm not sure if that's a photo of Brick. I'm a little confused there, but I thought it was a great story because 1892, he passed away. He's still hanging out in the castle. Why not? If you're going to hang out anywhere, castle, solid option.
I'm just saying, that's very like...
I swear to God, I've passed this castle before. Like, I swear to God. I'm looking at the castle. I'm like, I've definitely passed by it.
Have you been to Ireland?
Yes, I have, multiple times.
Tell us about Ireland.
Oh, it's beautiful. I drove the last time all up and down. That was the first time that I drove on the wrong side. Okay. On the different side. I know, that's so rude.
Interesting.
But it's like you're driving for hours and you just see random ruins. They just it's just ruins everywhere. You're just like driving through a field, there's a cow and there's a ruin, and you're like, let's jump out of the car and let's go walk around the ruin. That's how Ireland is, and drinking.
Well, next time you're there, you definitely have to visit the Castle Ellen House in Cove, Galway, because Walter Peter Lambert is waiting for you.
Is he single?
I don't think he drinks Corona, I can tell you that, but he might be.
I'm just saying he could make you his boo.
Oh, I'm single enough for that.
Hey everyone, before the music hits, we are so proud to announce our new sponsor of Haunts and Hops, Tavor. If you're a craft beer fan like we are, Tavor is a must on your cell phone. T-A-V-O-U-R, providing the most delicious craft beer from across the country. I'm talking about the hard to find stuff, the most creative beers. You can download the app and start building your custom box immediately. It'll be sent right to your house. Or trust the experts at Tavor in a subscription, and they'll snag the highest rated beers suited to your taste. No commitments, no minimums, any amount of beer you want delivered right to your doorstep for one flat fee. Or let's say you want free shipping. Easy. Sign up with a subscription. And by signing up with Haunts and Hops, you're going to get hooked up. Use the code HAUNTS10, HAUNTS10, and after you hit $20 on your first order, you'll automatically get a $10 credit added to your account. We are all fans of Tavor. They're an amazing company, and trust me, the beer is incredible. It's so fun because you can get beer from breweries that you maybe have never even heard of right to your doorstep. So it's real simple. Use the code HAUNTS10 to get the discount, and make sure to find Tavor on all social media at the handle @Tavor. All right, everyone, enjoy Haunts and Hops. And that's the perfect way to end Supernatural Scoop. Move it on to the cryptid map. Anastasia, I believe this was like a BuzzFeed article, correct, that had the map?
It was. It was a BuzzFeed article called The North American Cryptid Map, which you can probably find on BuzzFeed still.
Absolutely can. And not the greatest artist in the world, but to me that gives the map so much more character and really made it more intriguing to actually search for some of these creatures, if you will.
It's so cute.
It's cute.
Now, Anastasia, as a cryptozoologist, I guess you can say you've had a lot of experience. What got you into cryptozoology?
So I think it would probably have to be like the Bigfoot legend, because I grew up with like Harry and the Hendersons and stuff like that. And I was just, I know that sounds so ridiculous, but Harry and the Hendersons was just like such a good show.
Like, wait, you're not talking about the movie. You're talking about the movie. Sitcom?
The sitcom, yeah.
The sitcom was pretty awful. Let's be honest.
Okay, I was young. Okay. I liked Land of the Lost. I liked all these different like weird creatures. I was just a creature feature kind of chick as a kid. And so when I was getting my paranormal certification, I was like, well, let's just do the aliens and the cryptids too. But like, I think my first time like really being like addicted to like trying to search for one is probably Champ, who is basically the Loch Ness Monster of Vermont.
And he's his name Champ based off of
Lake Champlain.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yes. Which also has a very good chocolate like place there.
Wonderful. Ashley, what are your thoughts on cryptozoology?
Well, just I want to laugh first that you said the show, not the movie, and the movie, not the show, because I feel like Jemaine Clement does that a lot with everything he does. It's Flight of the Conchords, the show, not the band. What We Do in the Shadows, the movie, not the show. And it just, it creates this big conversation piece. And you're like, oh, you set this up, so we would have to continue talking about you. How dare you? But when it comes to the cryptids, I gotta say the Wendigo is what got me into it, or Wendigo, however you want to say it. I think it might have been an episode of Supernatural, to be perfectly honest. But every time I go camping, I think of it and I get really panicked about it, because one of the backgrounds is that it was, you know, humans became cannibals and then they turn into this monster, and the monster is so scary. There's a lot of different legends behind it, but I mean, it goes everywhere. There's Nova Scotia, there's Wisconsin, it's kind of all over the place. And I don't know, something about it, if you ever look up photos, it is just the scariest of the cryptids, in my personal opinion. And you know me, I tend to go for the scariest thing possible. There, you know, if you guys have us on Facebook, you can see the picture. It's up in the right, top right corner where Canada is, and it is frightening looking.
He looks adorable in this picture. I don't know.
That picture, he might. But there's a lot of like controversy that it came from the modern medical term Wendigo psychosis. because psychiatrists describe that as like a culture-bound syndrome, with syndromes like intense cravings for human flesh and cannibalism. And I think that's why I'm so scared of it, because cannibalism is really scary. If you've ever seen The Road, then you'll know it's the scariest post-apocalyptic film in the world. And yeah, I don't know.
That's and on top of that, Wendigo essentially is, many people say it's a creature derived from the folklore of the First Nations Algonquin tribes from the northern forests of Nova Scotia. And to me, I would never doubt anything that the Native Americans say might exist, because they are so spiritually powerful. The last thing I would ever want to do is, number one, upset them, and number two, deny what they say. So I don't know.
This is true. And Nova Scotia has some crazy history, some cool, interesting, horrific history. So,
well, Wendigo's a great choice. We have a couple other we're going to get to as well. But to follow up off the Loch Ness Monster topic from episode one, we're waiting to find out if that photo is indeed credible. But there are a lot of, not just Champ, there are a lot of Nessie wannabes, if you will. Would you like to go down the list?
Yes, but I also want to note that Anastasia just chugged that Corona.
Oh,
it was like drinking piss water. Come on, it's fine.
She's like, knocked that thing back. I really stressed her out with the whole cannibalism thing, I guess.
What is the ABV on Corona, by the way? Does it even say?
I didn't even say. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, you know, I was thinking about the theme of Corona being, you know, really good for the Irish castle, because the Irish actually fought in the Mexican Wars. So.
Okay.
I'm trying, you guys. I'm trying.
It's a 4.6.
Okay.
All right. So, well, there's a little redemption there. A little.
Thank you.
Well, we got the Nessie wannabes here. First one up is Shuswagi in British Columbia in Shuswap Lake. Maybe it's Shuswap. I'm not sure. I apologize. The first official sighting was in 1984, but odd sightings have been claimed since the early 1900s. Keep in mind, Shuswap Lake is 33 miles longer and 2 miles wider than Loch Ness. Yeah, the big story, 1984. The family says they saw large humps raise out of the water, and the mother, by the name of Linda Griffiths, saw through binoculars a large serpent-like creature with 7 humps move in front of the boat, but then quickly dove back down headfirst. She claims it was around 25 feet long, but it was never to be seen again. Have you ever heard of Shuswagi?
Mm-hmm. No, but it does fascinate me.
My lovely lady lumps.
It does fascinate me when people are like, oh yeah, it was 25 feet long. Anything I see in the distance, I'm like, yeah, it was an inch. I could see about an inch of it. I don't know how people are able to just automatically guess the length of something when they see it that far away, especially in binoculars. If it's surrounded by just water, what are you going to compare it to?
Agreed. Like, even when my GPS is like, it's 1,000 feet away, and I'm like, I don't know what that means. Yeah. I have no idea.
That's when it gets confusing.
Turn right. Oh no, it's now.
Yeah.
It's right now? I don't know. So I guess that's interesting.
Yeah, and sightings go all the way up until 2018. Many people are leaning on the surviving plesiosaur theory, and some believe that it could be an ancient Native American water spirit, or like cryptozoologist Carl Shuker says, it could be a surviving Zeuglodon, aka a Basilosaurus, which was thought to have gone extinct a mere 34 million years ago. So that is a wide range of options there.
That is.
Yeah. That's a lot. And throw in oarfish and you're like right there. Like, everybody's always like, it could be an oarfish.
Yeah.
Oarfish look so happy though. These always look so mean. I don't think so.
The next one is Ogopogo, and it's another lake in British Columbia where it supposedly lives. It's basically become a media darling, sightings going all the way back to 1872, but there isn't nearly as much, I guess you could say, evidence as compared to Shuswagi. It's just another lake monster in a different part of British Columbia, and it's called Ogopogo, which is a great name.
I really love the band. Just kidding. I just made Ashley laugh as she's taking her temperature. Speaking of Corona. Yeah, I hadn't heard of this one.
I was trying
to
be discreet about that. That didn't work. Oh no, it's making noise. I was trying to be discreet.
Speaking of Corona is a very underrated joke that Anastasia just dropped, by the way.
Yeah, sorry. Because I drank Corona and she might have Corona. Anyway.
yeah, to all the fans. Thank you for that. All the fans, adoring fans. Yeah, I'm currently under quarantine for symptoms and exposure. So what better way to spend my time than drinking beer on the internet?
You're a brave soul. Yeah. You're a brave soul, and we appreciate you for it.
I just feel like every lake and every body of water has one of these. And I think they just are all very similar, right? I mean, there's nothing quite different about them. Like Champ is the exact same as Nessie, just maybe a little smaller.
Oh, there's more coming. We have in Saskatchewan, the Turtle Lake Monster with a head resembling a dog with the body of a seahorse. That sounds like an adorable pet.
I would have pretty cute. Yeah, it was cute.
Mm-hmm. Wait, they what say, dog?
What dog face?
God, I wish Golden Retriever, but it doesn't say.
What if it's just like a Basset Hound? And so it just has these big floppy ears that help it swim through the water.
What's it called?
The Turtle Lake Monster. Some say it might just be a sturgeon inhabiting Turtle Lake, but there's yet to be conclusive evidence of a sturgeon even being in Turtle Lake. So it's all really just sightings.
I'm curious about that one. I really, now I'm only picturing a Basset Hound with, seahorse body.
It looks more like a horse. I don't see dog in this, but okay.
See, Ashley, you say Basset Hound, and now I'm thinking of Falcor from Neverending Story. So.
Falcor.
That's what it was. Now mystery solved. Guys, it's Falcor.
Well, this next one is not Ogopogo. It's Manipogo in Lake Manitoba, Canada. It was named in 1960 after Ogopogo. They say it's a muddy brown body with a sheep-like head. Sightings since the 1800s, 17 witnesses have claimed to see three Manipogo swimming together. And going back to the early 1960s, Professor James A. McLeod of Manitoba University tried to find any evidence of Manipogo, but he was unable to hit pay dirt on that one.
Aw, yeah. It's like a little family.
Seems like it.
That's so cute.
I feel like this would make awesome children's books, don't you think? All these different lake monsters. Oh, yeah. Maybe there are. I don't know.
I do have one of Champ.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do. I'd have to find it, but I have one of Champ.
I feel like that's one of the things about these cryptids and creatures of any sort is they do make good children's stories, whether they tend to make them scary or friendly or fun, however they go about it. I think that's one of the fun things about learning cryptozoology is you can make it into a children's story.
Yeah, and they're so cuddly.
Speaking of which, I think that's a pretty good idea for a Patreon video is Anastasia reading the children's book about Champ.
Ooh. I will totally do that.
That's actually a great idea. I'm in.
All right, we're going to make it happen.
I'm a fan of the band.
The next one is Charlie, a.k.a. Slimy Slim, a.k.a. the Twilight Dragon of Payette Lake. Swear to God, it has multiple nicknames. This is near McCall, Idaho. The first thought of it, once again, going back to the Native Americans, believing that it could be an evil spirit living in the lake, first documented sighting 1920, while workers were cutting ties, they thought it was a log. Then they realized, oh, that log is moving.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I hate when logs move.
Dozens of sightings reported between 1956 and 2002. So this is Idaho. I've never been. So...
I have never been to, well, I guess I've driven through, but his names all sound like he's like ready to be like a white rapper. I'm looking forward to his album drop, you know?
Slimy Slim is a pretty great nickname.
Slimy Slim. Yeah. I think I've driven through Idaho, but I don't really recall very much about it.
Well, next time, stop by Payette Lake.
I plan on it. I plan on swimming with him.
Yeah. Catch a glimpse of old Slimy Slim while you're out there. Next one, Bear Lake Monster on the border of Utah and Idaho. It's basically become more of a tourist attraction. Not a lot of sightings, not a lot of evidence.
I've never heard of there not being evidence for cryptozoology. What are you talking about?
Well, this one, oh, might be my personal favorite. This one is called Tahoe Tessie.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yes, Lake Tahoe. I've heard of Tessie.
Mm-hmm. She's been the subject of children's books, newspapers. There even used to be a local museum and a hotline. Remember hotlines? But they have both been closed. But Tahoe Tessie.
I feel like there was a coffee shop last time I was in Lake Tahoe that was like something like Tessie.
I'd buy it.
I like that name though. It's a good name. It's a strong name.
Give me a Tessie blend. I'll drink that coffee.
Yeah. If it's not a coffee shop, we should just open it up. Let's just do it.
Tahoe Tessie's coffee shop. Let's all move to Tahoe.
All right. Let's do it.
I got it. I can. Let's do it. I got time.
As soon as your quarantine is over, pack up. We're going.
Oh, we'd have such a cute house, though. Yeah. Imagine how many episodes we'd get done.
So many.
So many.
It'd become a daily podcast, I think, with all the free time we'd have.
That's actually our next reality show. We are just trapped in a cabin making like our own beer and making podcast after podcast.
And searching for Tahoe Tessie.
And then we have to rename the show again. And it would be Tahoe Tessie.
Yeah.
No, Haunts and Hops presents Tahoe Tessie.
Okay. Thank God. I don't think I can do this again.
And then eventually we'll write a musical.
I'll be.
But I mean, it's going to be called Tahoe Tessie, which now it's going to be that same thing that like Jemaine Clement does, where we have to explain what we're talking about because we can't call it Haunts and Hops. It's going to get too confusing. It's going to get muddled.
Yeah. The good thing about it, though, is we're really hitting the niche Tahoe Tessie market with the podcast.
Yeah. It's true. It's very true.
I don't think anybody else is. So
we're good. All right. We're in. Moving on to other cryptids, we already talked about Wendigo. This one might be more terrifying than Wendigo.
That's not true.
Well,
I'm listening, but it's not true.
Okay. This one out of Louisville, Kentucky, the Pope Lick Monster.
Why is he licking the Pope? I don't understand.
That's what I thought at first. Too.
Also, don't do what I just did and put pipe lick. That's not what we want in research.
Because if you have pipe lick, that's very similar to a Christmas story when his tongue got stuck. And no one wants that.
Don't put that in your feed.
So, the Pope Lick Monster, part man, part goat, part sheep, living beneath the trestle bridge over Pope Lick Creek.
I looked up his picture. I don't like it.
Yeah, it gets worse. Oh. Legends. Yeah. Legends range from it being a former circus freak who vowed revenge to it being a monster escaping from a train, or some say it's a twisted reincarnation of a farmer who sacrificed goats and was then essentially cursed. And some say it attacks with an axe. So I guess it has opposable thumbs.
So it's human. Hmm. It's definitely got a human base in some sort. Like it's got human.
Oh yeah. All of the visuals that I see are very humanoid.
Humans are the biggest monsters.
Mm-hmm. Ain't that the truth?
I still think Wendigos are way scarier, but that's pretty up there. I'm not a fan of that.
What's interesting is I've been to Louisville to do stand-up multiple times, and I'm actually booked to go back in a few months. And so I think I'm going to have to find the little trestle bridge.
Give Pope Nick a hug.
Episode.
Yeah, it might be my final episode. Who knows?
It's okay.
Just live stream it so that we can like have commentary with you while you're talking.
Don't worry. Yeah. If I'm getting taken out by the Pope Lick Monster, I'll make sure that you guys go viral for it. Don't you worry.
Oh, thank you.
It's going to be really hard to ever replace you, but ratings.
We're going to bring him back. We'll just have his ghostly voice talking on every week.
We'll have a spirit box specifically for you.
Ashley, you could use a spirit box. Because you love spirit boxes.
Yeah. She loves them.
I would do it for you. I would have a spirit box for you if it meant talking to you.
Aww.
Sacrifice.
Last one for today.
Okay.
The Oklahoma octopus. This one supposedly has a little bit of credibility behind it.
Really?
Even Animal Planet has written about this.
What?
Yeah, not kidding. It is said to inhabit three lakes in Oklahoma and attack unsuspecting swimmers because essentially these lakes have a high mortality rate, many unexplained drownings. People believe it's the size of a horse. There's been many reported sightings. Cryptozoologists have pointed out a species of jellyfish that could be the fact that it adapted from saltwater to freshwater. Essentially, it's a giant octopus that supposedly gets tangled up with people or actually goes after people. I don't know much about octopi. Are they aggressive towards humans?
There's always been legends about them being very aggressive towards humans. I think I think most of those kind of animals just want to get away from you, but they do have defensive mechanisms. You know what I mean?
I want to know. Oh, no. I looked up the picture. That doesn't look like an octopus. Ooh.
Yeah. Well, there's a few different pictures, right? I've been looking them up.
I don't know. I mean, I've never seen an octopus be aggressive. I think that they're incredibly fascinating and intelligent. But when you mentioned jellyfish, jellyfish are aggressive, and I hate them. And I swam through a family of them one time.
Oh.
Did somebody have to pee on you?
I was in the Bahamas, and my stepmom and I both got Long Island iced teas. My stepmom's not a big drinker, but I am. And so she got like a few sips into hers, and she was like, oh no, this is way too much alcohol. I don't want it. And I was like, that's fine. I'll drink it. I knocked it back, which I don't know if you have had a Long Island. It is 100% alcohol. Mm-hmm. That's all it's made of. Mm-hmm. So I drank that, decided I'm going to go into the ocean, and I'm just going to lay out on my back and float until I can't float anymore, right? Really good idea when you've been drinking. So I still had mine, though. So I have one in my hand, and I'm just floating in the water. And I float for so long that I finally hit a net. I went so far in the water of the Bahamas that I somehow floated into the net, which was the edge of where they would allow you to go, right? That's their little, like, okay, public can't go past
For your safety.
Yeah, for your safety, for your consideration. And I just floated there for a little bit, wasn't really thinking of anything, was just enjoying being outside and vacation. And suddenly I felt really sick. I was like, I'm going to throw up right now. I drank too much. I shouldn't have drank two Long Island iced teas, probably not even one. I'm going to go back to shore. I very, very, what I assume is drunkenly, make my way back, and I am dying inside. And when I finally get to shore, I get out of the water and I am covered in what I think is hives, because as you both know, I am allergic to everything in the world. Mm-hmm. And I get out and I'm like, oh my God, I'm allergic to the ocean.
Sure.
That was my first thought. I was like, I'm allergic to the ocean. This is terrible.
I'm allergic to joy and relaxation.
And I panicked and I go to my dad. I'm like, Dad, I'm allergic to the ocean. And he was like, oh, we got to go to medical. And I was like, no, it's just an allergy. He's like, we're going to medical right now. And we go to the medical tent that they have, obviously, on the beaches out there for this reason. And they're like, oh, no, you just got stung by a ton of jellyfish. I had over 100 stings on my body.
Ew, why did you do that?
I was drunk. I didn't know.
Did they pour Corona on you to help these things?
Yeah, they poured piss water on me. Yes, they did. No, and I honestly, because I didn't know any better, and my dad was like, well, they're going to have to pee on you, and me being out of my mind, because first off, like, once the jellyfish venom actually starts to hit, like, it messes you up incredibly.
How, and though? So, like, mentally, does it throw you off, make you dizzy? Is it just pain?
I drink quite a bit. I know what it's like when alcohol hits me. This was like being right before you blackout drunk. That's what it felt like, where like everything was just kind of happening in really slow moments, and then it would fast forward, and then another slow moment would come. And so like we had to walk back because we were on a cruise. We had to walk back to the cruise ship. I don't even remember most of the cruise. My little baby, tiny baby brother, who was like 12 or 13, I think at the time, was like holding my hand, and I'm like walking with my head down because I can't even function. And so yeah, we get on the ship. And, you know, they're informed that I had been stung by a bunch of jellyfish, and my bunk was the top bunk, and I couldn't get up there. Obviously, I couldn't for the life of me get onto a bed. And so I had to sleep. And if you've been on a cruise ship, you know, like there's a little tiny, like 2 foot gap between the bed and the wall. And so I slept wedged between the wall and my parents' bed, just like, cause I couldn't climb onto anything. I couldn't sit up correctly. I had to literally wedge myself in. And I hate jellyfish.
So what you're saying is the Oklahoma octopus is real.
That's exactly where I was going. So yeah, I don't like that octopus already.
Do you want to swim with me in Oklahoma?
Not even a little. After that, I already have lassophobia, and that I thought getting drunk, you know, was going to fix it. which technically it did fix it in the sense that I felt fine, but I felt too fine that I didn't realize I was getting stung by jellyfish. So,
okay, question. For those of us who don't know, what is lassophobia?
Oh, lassophobia is the fear of water. Not necessarily like in a bathtub. It's lakes, oceans, things that you really can't see down into. I follow a subreddit called Lassophobia, which is stupid for somebody that has it. And a lot of people just post these really beautiful art pieces, which I highly recommend if you go look at that page, where it's like monsters super down below the depths. And then they show like the transition of like people swimming at the beach. It's really fun.
Yeah, I'm going to avoid that subreddit, I think.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I kind of relate to that. I mean, I'm not lassophobic by any stretch. Like, I loved the ocean growing up. But the older I get, the less interest I have in frolicking in the ocean. I don't know. Oh. Is that common? I don't know.
Not for Anastasia, I guess.
I like water. I just want to be in water.
I like turtles. And
literally, if I get upset, I'm just like, I'm going to go take a bath. Okay. I need to be in water.
a bath is one thing, though. But are you a jump in the ocean and frolic around person?
Yeah, I am.
Wow.
And I was taught how to swim like in the most people think it's a brutal way, but I don't think it because I was an infant. They just would throw infants in the water and then they would naturally swim. It traumatized my sister who had to watch it, but I'm like natural in water.
I love swimming. Don't get me wrong. Like at a pool, I'm all about it. I love water, but like I've gone scuba diving before and I can't do it because I get so panicked and like my blood pressure just like skyrockets when I'm in the water. I'm just like, well, gonna die right here.
I mean, I've hyperventilated a little bit snorkeling before, so I get it. Like when I was in Iceland, I like at the end of our snorkeling, I was just like, like at the very end when we're about to get out, I had hyperventilation.
Yeah, I don't snorkel anymore. I went snorkeling in Jamaica. Was it Jamaica? No, I'm sorry. I went snorkeling in Mexico. Never. I'm not doing that again. I love how beautiful everything was, but like the struggle to keep up with people and calmly breathe and not be panicked about being surrounded by massive fish. I'm out.
Yeah, I shouldn't be like cool with snorkeling because that's how my dad died. But I'm for some reason was like, I'm going to be in the water and I'm going to learn how to snorkel again after this. Because I am. I know, but you know, I don't want to have fears.
I was just about to say how much I actually love snorkeling. But I think we'll get off the snorkeling topic after that mic drop moment by Anastasia.
She does it a lot.
Yeah, no, we'll talk about that off air. I feel like the next cryptid. We're done with the cryptids essentially for today. I feel like we should dedicate an entire episode to Mothman at some point. That's why I didn't want to bring it up today.
Yes, Mothman. Right? Yeah, we need a whole episode. We can't.
I'm sure we can get a Mothman expert. I mean, there's been films, documentaries. I think we could all agree. We love it. We're going to do a whole episode on Mothman.
Yeah, and if you have stories about any of these creatures or a creature that we don't know, call in our hotline. I said a hotline, but voicemail is probably the better term. And let us know about them because maybe we don't know about your hometown cryptid if you have a story about any of these creatures. We'd love to hear it.
Especially yes. If they're local. We love that stuff.
Yeah, that would be awesome. So be sure to call in. Johnny will do the number again at the end. So
yes, it is 818-660-6191. Any story, we love the hometown stuff. That's what really makes the paranormal even better is when you have stories or legends, if you will, from wherever you grew up. So yeah, 818-660-6191. And this was a really fun episode about the North American cryptid map.
Woohoo!
So Ashley Crow, where can people find you on social media?
Oh man, I got lucky and it's at Ashley Trobe across the board. You can just find me super easily that way. But if you can't find me, luckily, once you find one of us, you find all of us. So if you can't find me there, find me on Jay Quasto or at Anastasia Wash and it'll be super easy.
Soups ease.
Before we sign off, I do want to mention that we have amazing guests coming up. We have Chris Villain coming up pretty soon. If you don't know him, he is from Disney. He is a sweet baby angel, and I've gotten to work with him on a paranormal show before. We also have Karen Rontowski, who is one of my favorite people. She is a comedian. She's one of the funniest people I know, and she's really into the paranormal. In fact, the way I met her was she was the host of a paranormal con that I had gone to. And so she is going to be a fantastic guest. I can't wait for you guys to hear her. Johnny.
Karen is very sensitive too. She's not just into the paranormal. She is living it in many ways. She is a fascinating human being. Beyond the fact that she's a brilliant comedian, she's been on Letterman. Fascinating human being, and I'm very excited to catch up with her.
Whoop, whoop.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Anastasia, where can people find you?
You can find me at Anastasia W on Twitter, at Anastasia Wash on Instagram, and Anastasia TV if you want to watch clips of comedy. Yeah.
Cool. I am at Jay Quasto on all social medias. And of course, we are at Haunts and Hops on all social media platforms. And do us a favor, however you're listening, whatever platform it is, if you have the option of rating and reviewing us, please take a couple of seconds to do it. We're trying to build this podcast. We really feel like we have something special here, especially if you're listening on Apple Podcasts and iTunes. Really hook it up. Give us that rating. Give us that review.
And make sure to check out our Untapped. We are updating it every episode. And if you have a beer that you think that we need to be drinking, let us know. We'll bring it onto the show. We'll try it out and we'll let you know what we think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Anastasia, we have Anchor and Patreon as well.
We have anchor.fm if you want to support us by giving us some moolah. You can totally do it there. Also, our Patreon is about to launch, so it's patreon.com/hauntsandhops.
With that said, thank you so much for joining us, and it's time to say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, tell a couple of friends and please rate and review the show on whatever platform you're listening on, especially if it's iTunes and Apple Podcasts. We appreciate you.